VentureCast.
I chop it at 29 minutes. Like, we only get on Zoom for 29 minutes. So I have a slight morsel of an idea that I think could last 29 minutes. But tonight we're going to go for
it's NASA trivia, right? Just tell us now.
We're a sitcom now, everybody. We're going from being a drama to a sitcom. It's perfect. Season four, we're all famous and tanned from being a hit show.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Now we're going to all start sleeping with each other. That'll be great. That'll be a great episode.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Jazzed up. It's San Francisco night, Jeff Simons.
How about that?
I mean, it's all coming together. Welcome to 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys on the Electricast Podcast Network. We are winding down season three, and we are coming to you from San Francisco, California. Not really.
Well, kind of really.
Jeff, you're actually out there.
I am 7 miles from San Francisco currently, sitting in my office at work in luscious Marin County.
Awesome. Ben Barton, how far away are you from San Francisco right now?
I don't know. What do you 3,500 miles?
No, not that far. 2,800, I think.
Well, you're like another 120 past me, whatever it is.
That's right. But Ben, both of us feel a kinship there because both of us left our hearts in San Francisco, did we not? No.
First of all, I'm hoping India's been listening to the podcast and she's like, Jeff hates you and those songs suck. He's just punishing you with his selections week after week. The equivalent of Danny Boy would be Left My Heart in San Francisco. So I'm very hopeful. I hope that's the one we're going to get.
We built
you are 2,481 miles from San Francisco.
Wow. Look at you even putting it up in the Zoom. Wow. We're professionals winding down season three. Well, before we get to that, Jeff Simons, you had a gig recently, and
I did.
You released a new song on Electricast Records.
I did both of those things. But before we talk about those, I think I have to apologize for my microphone in the last episode because didn't have the fancy mic, and I thought we could get away with just the Zoom, and I was a little crackly. And I would like to apologize to my dad, who just let me have it. Like, really did not appreciate the quality of the audio in the last episode. So, Dad, I hope I'm coming through a little louder, a little clearer. This one's for you, brother.
There were a few fans who noted you know what? It's actually a good thing, Jeff, because what they want is more Jeff in their life.
No, it's a way of telling whether people are actually listening to the damn thing. I mean, that's what I felt great about. It's like, oh my God, they have an opinion. That means they were actually...
Let's go.
Yeah, so I played a great gig at this place, Baltic Kiss, in Point Richmond. I opened with a full band for this guy, Frankie Jupiter, and then I sat in all night on bass with him, which was unbelievably fun. We had so much fun. We're doing it again.
Okay.
Doing a triple bill with me, Frankie, and Matt Jaffe, Thursday, February 22nd at the Ivy Room, which is my local watering hole, which I can walk to from my house. So.
Great. How old is Matt Jaffe these days? Is he 25?
Late 20s, I think.
Late 20s, somewhere in there. But going strong. Like, love his music.
He's actually playing guitar in my set. He's in the band for me that night. So that'll be super fun. Yeah.
The student has
been. And I'm actually going to play drums for him on his last three numbers. So we'll see how that goes. it's gonna be fun. I'm going to play drums and bass and keys. I'll be busy up there. It's going to be great.
Hey, and can you give us, this is San Francisco. So go ahead. You are our artist of the city, artist of the week. Can you play 30 seconds of your new song for us?
Oh, really? Okay. I did not have that queued up.
I know. I'm sorry. Throwing you
all
for
right,
a loop.
Here. I'll just jump to that. Jeez, I don't know if I have a copy of it. I'll jump to the middle somewhere. There you go.
Good. Woo! Stuff. Driving. Driving beat. You sound like you're living on the edge right there. End of your end of your rope, as it were.
I am at the top of my vocal range. The outtakes of this are pretty hilarious when my voice cracks or like I had a couple of really quality Duran Duran squeaks by the end of that session. But no, it's about gun violence in America, and hopefully it's not too proselytizing and annoying. But I there was just one event too many. I've had like versions of the song in the can for a while, and I just decided to hell with it and put it out. So
good,
we'll see.
Good stuff.
See if I end up on anybody's angry website. I look forward to that.
I love it, and I love the fact that your music is getting more and more plays on Spotify. Go Jeff Simons, go San Francisco. And I will say, as just an observation, it seems like here in season three, there's been less NBA talk than in previous seasons.
It's a mystery to me. The Knicks are fantastic. It's their best.
The Knicks are, by the way, their best fantastic
year since the last century. And the Warrior suck. And so all of a sudden, we don't talk about the NBA anymore. That's weird.
That's on y'all. I'll talk about your wonderful teams as much as you want.
Good stuff. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Golden State, man. It's just not happening.
That's a whole separate podcast, and very sad. If you're a Warriors fan.
Okay. Well, and, you guys
looks
have
like
had
we did nothing at the trade deadline either. So that's a bummer.
It was a good run. Hey, it is our second to last podcast of season three. There's a big question mark, but I want you guys to know I have an idea for season four. And the number one rule of season four is I chop it at 29 minutes. Like, we only get on Zoom for 29 minutes. So I have a slight morsel of an idea that I think could last 29 minutes. But tonight we're going to go for
it's NASA trivia, right? Just tell us now.
We're a sitcom now, everybody. We're going from being a drama to a sitcom. Perfect. Season four, we're all famous and tanned from being a hit show.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Now it's all, now we're going to all start sleeping with each other. That'll be great. That'll be a great episode.
All right. Well, we are arriving in San Francisco on our musical road trip. Jeff's already there. He is at the airport humming this song from Otis Redding.
In the morning sun, I'll be sitting in the evening car, watching the ships roll in, then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay.
Thank God you went to that line. When he sings, I left my home in Georgia, is that the most beautifully sung line in music? I mean, he crushes that line.
That's great.
It's gorgeous.
And also, it sets up a whole generation of people who think people call the city Frisco, which nobody does, which is also, that's kind of fun.
In the torture basement, I tried to avoid it, but I had to include one. So you got one Frisco coming up in the torture
basement.
Awesome. Prepare yourself. Yeah, you don't call it San Fran. You don't call it Frisco. It's San Francisco. And they're a little biting about that.
Well, it's the city more than anything.
It wasn't when I
You
was there.
just call it the city, and all other cities need to be named, but the city is self-explanatory. So,
All right, we got a little competition here. Crack your knuckles, stretch your hamstrings. It is Ben versus Jeff. We're playing categories, songs that feature whistling. And whoever runs out of song titles that feature whistling, you are the loser. Ben, you get to go first.
talking to the bass guy whistling, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's why we're having this conversation, because he
Yeah.
ends the song.
Okay, well, I'm counting that because
All right.
that
Okay.
song
I'll
is
go with
whistling.
the Dukes of Hazzard theme at the end. He whistles the little.
Wait, are you
First of all, you
whistling
went
right now?
silent there. There's no whistling in that song. What are you even talking about?
Do you not know how to whistle? What just happened?
I'm not a very good whistler. Okay, then I'll pick the song from Robin Hood that the rooster sings in the Disney cartoon. That's got. He whistles in that.
Okay. Ben, back to you.
I have no idea what Jeff was talking about. That's extra cheated.
It's
You got
something from
another
his
one?
childhood.
I'm gonna choose the one. I'm gonna choose the one for the Fox and the Hounds, where the hound whistles at the end in the song about running over the woods. You
I
remember
can do
that one,
that
Jeff?
one.
Oh, you don't remember that? Because he whistles.
How
That's all I have to say about that.
Sissy Neck by Beck? That starts with the whistle.
You cannot whistle at all. Viewers
Never
who are not
will.
here, I know this is a radio platform, but our brother is just cupping his mouth and going.
You can't hear that?
I
I
wonder
can
if
hear
my
it.
mic,
First of
does his
all, I'm going to stop
microphone not
guessing
pick
and
it up?
declare victory. I'm just going to declare victory because Jeff can't whistle. I can't name any more songs, but I win. Jeff can't whistle.
True.
Oh
I have
man.
wanted to whistle my whole life and I could barely get like three little tones out.
I had no idea that this would reveal so much. My God. All right.
The
Nice
way,
work.
that was very cruel, Timmy. Next
I
week we'll have
had
Joe Biden on and we'll do songs with stuttering. That's gonna be the next thing we do.
Oh boy. Hey, there is an honorable mention for a rival song. And I know Ben is going to hate this song, but when we took the kids out to California, we flew into LA, hit seven national parks, went to visit Jeff, stayed with Jeff, came all the way back down the coast. This was one of the songs in our California mix that the kids loved.
You didn't send me another song. I love you trying to set me up. You didn't give me an alternate arrival song.
Shit, you're right. I didn't. It's Scott McKenzie. If you're going to San Francisco.
Yeah, you did give me that one.
Oh, I
Sorry.
did.
Shoot.
Non-whistler.
I think he assumed you were joking.
I think I assumed you were joking.
If you're going to San Francisco,
Can I stop now?
What year is that?
That's 1967. That was
Scott
like
McKenzie.
a attempt to glom on to the Flower Power Summer of Love action. And it worked. It
Sure.
went to number one. It was
Yeah,
a
what do you mean
huge hit.
attempt to
Does he
glom
have any
on?
other songs, Scott
No.
McKenzie? No.
My favorite thing is the album is called The Songs of Scott McKenzie. And I can't name a second one.
Well, dude, he needed to clarify as opposed to the single, which you might
Yeah.
prefer to own.
It's the song of San Francisco. Yeah.
Right.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear flowers in your hair, man, because that is the scene in Haight-Ashbury. Jeff Simons, can you define for us the San Francisco sound of this era?
Of that 60s era,
Yes.
I mean, the one that certainly like kickstarts a national like idea of San Francisco is the kind of psychedelic ballroom concerts of the Fillmore District. This guy Bill Graham was a promoter. He was promoting of all things the San Francisco Mime Troupe. And he bought a rundown building and called it the Avalon Ballroom and started hosting like kind of be-ins. People get high and they'd have bands playing all night. But he basically invents the modern rock concert because Up until like 1966, when a band played, they played for 25 minutes. Like the longest set the Beatles ever played was 28 minutes. It was in San
Oh.
Francisco where they're like, let's let people play for an hour and a half and let's let them stretch out. And we can bring the improv from a jazz club and bring it to a place where people just want something in the background that they can like groove to all night. And so the scene that emerges around the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood and the ballrooms of San Francisco is a kind of a new kind of live performance first, studio recording second,
Yeah.
series of bands who can play for a really long time. The ones that you may not have heard of are like Quicksilver Messenger Service and Moby Grape. And the ones you have heard of for sure are Jefferson Airplane and the kings of the scene, the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
But by the time the Grateful Dead are touring the country and playing 3-hour concerts, it ups the game and requires a kind of a completely different approach. When the Stones tour America in 1966, they play 25-minute sets. When they come back in 69, they bring their own PA with them and they've got an 80-minute set because there are these new expectations from audiences that we're going to get to see the whole Megillah. And that really
Yeah.
starts in San Francisco.
Wow. Fascinating stuff. Can I play a little word association with you and Ben? I'm going to say a word, the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay. So you mentioned this place in your talk there. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the Fillmore?
Oh, that's a great one. There's so many great live albums for the Fillmore. I mean, I would do live at the Fillmore would be what comes to mind. I couldn't choose. I mean, the Allman Brothers, is that Fillmore East or Fillmore West?
That's East, but there's that incredible Aretha record
Yeah, the
from
Aretha one.
Fillmore
Dude, I'm
West.
going to mention that there's a Live at the Fillmore West Chuck Berry album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
All right, good, good, good. Jefferson Airplane.
We built this city. We built this city on rock
How
and roll.
dare you? That is Starship.
No, first of all,
The
I
Jefferson
almost
Airplane
selected
lived at 2400 Fulton Street, and when I first moved to San Francisco, you could still see like the house still had the columns in the front that they had been painted psychedelic by the band. I think of Grace Slick's crazy drunken rant with the pistol when the police came to her house to tell her to turn the music down in 1992. That's
Wow.
my Grace Slick
Okay.
go-to moment.
All right, continuing on, Amoeba Music.
Where my children's retirement money went. It's my favorite record store. The one in LA is amazing as well, but the Amoeba in San Francisco was the place you could go and almost guarantee that you'd find what you were looking for. They were in the late 90s, if there was a copy of it in the world, they probably had one. It's pretty incredible.
Jeff, the cover of the DJ Shadow record introducing, that's guys at Amoeba, right? That's actually Amoeba
I
Records.
think it's either that or it's the great used record store in Sacramento. Like it's called like Wax Tracks or something like that. I don't know. It's one of those two though, for sure.
So I remember living right there in Haight-Ashbury and going to Escape from New York Pizza, grabbing a slice and heading down to Amoeba Music. Ben, you'll love this. My brother moved out there first. So this is in 90, gosh, 95, I guess. I move out there, join him. But he tells the story of being out there a few months. And whenever he walks along Haight-Ashbury, kids come up to him like, buds, buds, buds. And my brother, after a month of people saying buds, finally he's like, I'm sorry, excuse me, like, you said buds. What do you mean? And of course, the guy is trying to make a low-key drug deal, and my brother is totally oblivious. And the kid looks at Pat and he says, "What planet are you from?" And then just kept walking. Like, all right, good talk, good talk. Lovely area of San Francisco. I want to keep going. Great American Music Hall.
Jeff's played that multiple times. I've seen him
Yeah,
there at least. Woo! I
that's
think I maybe two
one of the
times.
bigger places I've ever played. I played there, I counted. It's over a dozen times now that I played the music hall. It's just the greatest. I saw so many incredible shows at the Great American. I can't even count. Like, But yeah, that's in a beautiful
Great
old,
venue.
like pre-earthquake venue with chandeliers. It holds about 650 people. It's got a ornate balcony. And the sound is, they put in a new sound system a couple years ago. The sound is fantastic now. Like you
Okay.
can really hear the band. But I love that theater.
Right,
Robin
my
Williams's first comedy special was filmed in the Great American.
no
The one where he's
kidding.
running around the audience doing the Shakespeare improv. That's the Great American Music Hall.
So you love you get on Wikipedia, you look for people from San Francisco or people associated with San Francisco, and I love that they have Van Morrison. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You're gonna have San Francisco claim Van Morrison?
Yeah, he
But
lived in San Anselmo, Marin County for years, and his daughter lives here. Shauna's been in the Bay Area music scene forever. Like everybody I know, including me, has at least been in a rehearsal studio with Shauna Morrison at least once.
wow.
And he used to play pickup shows at this place called the Inn at the Beginning in Cotati and in a place in Fairfax. And part of the live record, It's Too Late to Stop Now, is recorded at a bar like smaller than your living room in
Okay.
San Anselmo.
Well,
So
I wanted to also have you guys get together before the torture basement, because I know you guys are going to be a team for the torture basement. I wonder if you could be a team for me as far as TripAdvisor's top five recommendations
oh,
of
geez.
things to do in San Francisco. So we have a person who's lived there for the last 30 years and a person who once loved the city and now has beef with the whole area. So I think this is a good dynamic 1-2 punch. I am going to give you 1 minute on the clock to come up with the top five things to do in San Francisco. On your mark.
Wait, no, don't start the clock. We're naming what TripAdvisor thinks, or we're naming what we think.
Sorry, what TripAdvisor thinks.
Oh.
Excellent clarification. So talk amongst yourselves. Go.
That dumb squiggly street, that's Lombard Street, right?
Lombard Street.
That's definitely on there. And then the
So is
pier that's got the seals next to it, what's that called?
39,
Yeah,
Pier
that'll be on there.
39, or Fisherman's Wharf, one of those two.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Alcatraz is probably on there.
Great. Let's go Golden Gate.
Yep, Golden Gate Bridge. I think Pac Bell Park for a Giants game might be on the list.
You have
What's
4 out of 5. You do have Alcatraz at number 1, Golden Gate Bridge at number 2, Pier 39 at number 4, and Lombard Street, which you guys once made fun of me on this podcast for going there. You did a little yokel voice, and I did not appreciate that.
Very happy to make fun of you again, Tim. If you're requesting that, it's available.
So probably Haight-Ashbury is number three then, right? To go to the corner of Haight and Ashbury and get ice cream.
No, that is incorrect. This does not bode well for the torture basement. 1 minute is up. Cable cars, gentlemen. Cable
No.
cars.
Okay.
Don't
I love
like.
that everybody thinks that's great. You know what they call cable cars in other places? Buses. Does TripAdvisor say that one of the top that things you should do in New York is ride the bus? It's just a shitty bus. That's what it is.
On a very related topic, and I won't say who it was, Indy and I are, I guess, out to dinner with a couple, and the guy's like, hey, India, I had some really good ideas about public transit. And then he's like, oh, this is going to be fantastic. I can't wait to hear this guy's ideas about public transit. So he's like, have you been to San Francisco? Like, the trolleys are really, really popular. And Indy was like, yeah, but that's because they still have the rails. Like, we couldn't lay rails and have trolleys in Knoxville. And he's like, no, of course you wouldn't have a trolley. I'm talking about a trolley without the rails. She was like, that's a bus. Next topic.
Cover
She has
that
my vote for life.
very quickly. That is why she's the mayor. All right, well, let's go to the torture basement. This is the
Oh.
San Francisco compilation. If I could open up to you guys real quick, I mean, Jeff opened up earlier about the whole whistling thing. I will say that when I came up with the idea of recording little snippets of songs that mentioned places when we first started this season. I loved the idea. And I know, Ben, you were super excited about it. And
yes, it's
been a lovely little mainstay for season three. But I will say it began to drag. It began to be a real chore. And then today, I sat there thinking, I'm not going to be doing this soon. We're running out of places to go. There's no like compilation I could put together for Des Moines. Like this is it. It's running out.
Aww.
And it was really kind of bittersweet to know that this time in my life of finding songs that mention the place and then giggling to myself about what your reaction to a particular artist is going to be, or like when it's like something awful or something you can't get. I was like, I'm going to miss this. And so instead of 15 songs, I think I got one extra. I got 16 songs coming your way. And I always challenge you guys. I'd love for you to get 12 out of 16. But you know what, listeners? Let's talk to you. Sure, you don't have the same maniacal approach to music as these two gentlemen, but gosh darn it, I want you to get 8 out of 16. I want you batting 500, and then you, the listeners, will escape the torture basement as well. Let's go.
Okay, here we go. Torture basement or San Francisco.
This following program is dedicated to the city and people of San Francisco, who may not know it, but they are beautiful, and so is their city.
This is what it means to be American. Well, I took acid in San Francisco.
Sold his apartment before they made him known. Then he jumped straight into the San Francisco Bay.
It was raining hard. Heading out to San Francisco.
With his back against the San Francisco traffic.
And then she begins, she sings, I like to go to San Francisco.
My mind's made up.
San Francisco's calling us, the Giants and Mets will play. Piazza, New York, catch your eye, you straight or are you gay?
I can't believe you know this. I'm so upset.
I got you on that last one.
Wow. I mean, those are good songs coming out of San Francisco, or at least mentioning San Francisco. We're going to unpack it in just a moment. But first, we got a commercial for you. All right, we're back. I wonder if 13 out of 16 was too generous, but I'm feeling generous here at the end of season
no,
three.
No, there's a bunch I don't know.
Oh,
I
really?
Don't, okay. I think I have like 11.
But so. you had two that I did not think you were going to get, so I'm bummed about that. Ben, how are you doing on this one?
Oh, mixed. I'll put myself at mixed.
Mixed, okay.
Yeah.
And hopefully
we're doing one at a time, right? So people at home can keep their own tally.
Right. Hopefully people at home have pulled over and written down their guesses.
Here we go. This is Eric Burden's San Francisco Nights, I believe.
Who may not know it, but they are beautiful.
Is that his name?
And so is their city.
This marriage, what it means to be American.
This, I don't know.
This is Mac Miller.
Thank you.
Mac Miller is correct.
This is Ryan Adams.
It is indeed Ryan Adams.
Strawberry Wine, I believe.
Straight into the San Francisco Bay.
Can we pause real quick, Jeff Simons? Sorry, Harry.
And that is Harry Chapin's Taxi, by the way. One of the most hilarious songs ever written. I love that you put that in there.
She said, Harry, keep the change. Who did you say San Francisco Nights were by? San Francisco Nights?
It's Eric Burden and the Animals.
That's
or
right.
Eric
okay.
Burden or somebody.
Awesome. Eric Burden and the Animals is correct. So are you guys 3 for 3? 4 for 4 with
four
Harry
Chapin? 4 for 4.
Wow. All right. That's it.
Okay.
Hard in Frisco. Heading out to San Francisco.
I have a guess. It's a bad guess.
I mean, it sounds like James Taylor, but I don't think
it's James Taylor. That's what I was going to say.
Holy shit. Come Monday by Jimmy Buffett? It's his best song?
Oh my God, it's Jimmy Buffett.
You missed Jimmy Buffett, Come Monday?
I actually don't. I feel fine about that.
Oh, I am in shock right now.
Yeah. Pass. I feel fine about missing Jimmy Buffett.
Come on, day. It'll be all right. All right, go ahead.
This is Dawes.
Dawes is correct.
I had that one. Yeah.
Love this song.
This is Jill Sobule.
I like to go to San Francisco.
Really impressive pull, Jeff Simons.
This is some schmuck. I have no idea. I do not like that.
What's the name of the Walking in Memphis guy? That's my guess.
Oh,
Mark Cohn. So that was a former member of One Direction, Niall Horan. He's the guy that I think would be perfect in the role of Mickey in my screenplay, The O'Hare Family
Shit
Show.
Oh, then he's great.
Yes.
He's great. If you're Niall Horan's representation.
I want him in my movie. By the way, bad news. Three Irish movie production companies passed on the script, but a Canadian production company is interested. We're going to have a Zoom with them next week. You put that thing in Nova Scotia and squint your eyes. That's Ireland, brothers. Let's
go. No problem there.
Oh, yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, way to go. I love how you bury the lead. Like, that's the lead.
Let's have the Zoom first. Yeah. All right, keep going.
I'm walking with a living. I always like Steinbeck.
Oh, I know this one.
You do?
No.
Yeah. Vanessa Carlton.
Oh, my freaking Lord.
Yes, it is.
Dude, how did you get that?
My knowledge of those wimpy gals, I know them backwards and forwards.
Like, you,
that is
you listen to
that
album?
So good.
How did you?
All I know is that I know who Vanessa Carlton is. And then when you said the Steinbeck thing, I was like, oh, yeah, I know that one.
That's amazing.
I cannot believe, like, the two that stumped Jeff, Ben's like, oh, yeah, Mac Miller, Vanessa Carlton.
Dude, we're gonna do great now because I'm pretty close to running the table from here.
All right, we're at 7.
Counting Crows.
Oh, I did this one too, yeah.
San Francisco's calling.
Bell and Sebastian.
Yes. I had that one too. Are you feeling sinister?
Are you straight? Yep. Or are you gay?
The Replacements. Left of the Dial.
Yeah, that one.
I did that one for you, Jeff. I need.
I appreciate that, brother. Arctic Monkeys.
Did you have that one, Ben? No sound of
silence. Just sweet is this. I'm guessing my only guess is like Stone Temple Pilots or that awful band that Stone Temple Pilots became, which is like Talk Show or something like that. What do you got, Benny?
I thought I heard a hint of David Bowie at the very end.
You did? You definitely heard
it. Could it be Tin Machine?
It's not Tin Machine.
You heard a hint of an accent, that's for sure.
Tell us, Timmy.
That is late period Deep Purple.
Oh, yes. That would have been a minute before we came up with that.
I don't think I ever would have gotten that. There's late period Deep Purple?
I'm assuming.
God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then we got it from here. So,
all right.
This is Buddy Guy.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
But you know right here.
Hello, San Francisco.
Dude, I added the solo. The solo was so BB King.
Jeff, don't give away the last one. I want to see if Ben has it.
Ben won't get this if his whole family's life depends on it.
Oh, this is the last one I'm supposed to get that? Is that
yeah.
Fish?
It's Trey. His solo record.
All it's right. A Trey Anastasio solo song.
Yeah. You guys crushed the torture basement this week. Nice job. There were no shortage of songs. Oh, my gosh. People like dropping San Francisco in their lyrics.
Actually, we just got it, I think. Right?
I thought you
we got 13. We missed three.
Oh, you're right. You got 13. What you're supposed to get 12?
You said we had to get 13. You got all cranky at the end because it was the last one.
You did very well. You're out, and
I don't feel bad about those misses. Well. The Jimmy Buffett, Niall Horan, late period Deep Purple pushes even the limits of my insanity.
By the way, I'm looking it up now, and I know Vanessa Carlton because the girls liked her. That
yeah,
must be, I know that.
Yeah, it must be.
I literally was like, "How did I know that?"
That's a great poll, dude.
Well, she's got the one. Awesome song. I can't name another song by her.
I think the girls must have liked her enough where I heard multiple Vanessa
Carlton
songs.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, I want to move on right now to a little trivia. We haven't talked about San Francisco's population. Geography has been the Achilles heel of Jeff Simons for a number of years now. But I am feeling good because now we're on his home turf, Ben Barton. He's been there a long time. Certainly, he's going to be closest to the pin when it comes to the city, not metro, city population of San Francisco. Jeff Simons.
811,000.
Okay. Ben Barton?
Do I get to do higher, lower, or what do I have to do?
I think it's closest to the pin. I need a number.
Give me the number again, Jeff.
811.
811,001.
The population of the city of San Francisco is 873,000. So Ben is closest to the pin.
He's a dink, though.
Due to my dedication to cheating. Good job by me.
All right, Ben, you get to go first with the metro area. And Jeff will have the advantage of going second. Closest to the pin, metro San Francisco.
This is really hard. I don't even know, the megalopolis goes all the way to Sacramento. I'm vamping. I'm going to say 4.5 million.
4.5 million minus one.
4.6 million.
Oh, really? We're that big? Wow.
Just.
That must include Oakland, San Jose. All the way down.
Yeah, the metro area goes all the way down.
The whole thing.
Yeah. You know, we don't include San Jose in the Bay Area if you're not in San Jose. One of those dickish things about here. Like San Jose people are like, I live in the Bay Area. And we're like, no, you
don't. No, you don't.
But you do count Silicon Valley, right?
Yeah, but that's just, yeah. I mean, I think it stops at the
exactly
Apple headquarters.
Exactly the same distance to San Francisco. You're
no,
just
I
like,
know.
The
no,
poor San people
Jose's
in San
right
Jose,
there.
Not invited. The cool
yeah,
people
it's,
in Silicon
it's true,
Valley,
it's really like,
totally invited.
Totally right. That's totally correct.
I feel Ben's getting warmed up for what comes later. Okay. Humans arrived in the Bay Area. We've got archaeological evidence all the way back to what year, Ben Barton?
Oh, okay. I don't even know when humans came to the I mean, we're talking native people, so I don't even know
right.
when they came. Like, I'm going to say 2600 BC.
3000 BC. That's really good, Ben. That's good.
Very pleased with myself.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it. The Ohlone people?
Ohlone. The Ohlone.
Ohlone. Little land acknowledgement quickly. Jeff Simons, when did the Spanish arrive?
Not really sure, actually, to be honest. 1500, 1580, 1590, Drake's Bay?
1769, they actually come overland first and realize, look at that bay.
Wait, Drake is in Drake's Bay before 1700s. That's incorrect. It's a failed colony, but he's there in the 1590s.
Ben Barton, we go to you for confirmation.
You look it up to him. That can't be right, though, because how the hell did he get there? He sailed all the way around South America with other
1580.
People?
On September 26th, 1580.
Yeah, but doesn't he sail? Doesn't he
he's
sail
also
past?
Not Spanish. He's not Spanish. Timmy asked when the Spanish got there.
That's okay. Cheating, though. That's cheating. He was part Spanish on his mother's side, Jeff. And the United States takes over. I'm sorry, Mexico takes over in 1821. The United States takes over in 1846 in the midst of the U.S.-Mexico War. The population, Jeff Simons, in 1848 of San Francisco was 1,000.
Yeah.
In 1850, it is 25,000. What happened to account for such a jump?
Bugs Bunny discovers gold and then there are hills and the Yosemite Sams of this world want some.
Uh-huh. It's actually the founding of the Rice Aroni Company, apparently. They hired
I'm disappointed that was not in the torture basement. I thought
that
we were going to get the Rice Aroni theme song.
Hilarious, yeah. Or I did have Streets of San Francisco for a minute, and then I had to, it was too many songs. I had to get it out.
Yeah.
All right, well, I want to go to our favorite son. We've chosen the Grateful Dead. I actually don't know if they are the most popular artists as far as sales, but I think
probably not.
I think they probably claim it just as far as like longevity.
I mean, I'm sure they sold more concert tickets.
Yeah, right. Putting their stamp on that area. So, Jeff, I'll turn it over to you. What do you got to say about the Grateful Dead?
So, the Grateful Dead is a divisive band. There's a micro group of people that call themselves Deadheads who pretty much only listen to the Dead and have only been listening to the Dead for a long time. There are people who hate the Grateful Dead. Their favorite joke is, what does a Deadhead say when the drugs wear off? And the answer is, oh, this band sucks. I'm in the middle. There are years of the Dead that I really, really enjoy. And I definitely have enough knowledge to hang with the weirdest Deadhead. Like I can rip off important show dates and I've got hard opinions about 1969 versus 1972. And I've listened to the Dead for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of hours. And I can admit that there are nights when they sound absolutely dreadful. And the first time I was old enough to see the Dead was already after their golden period. There's a whole generation of Deadheads our age that want to claim that the Dead had this amazing resurgence from like 89 to 90 and played some of the most important shows in the band's history. And they are wrong. They are wrong. Oh. I went back and checked those things out. They sound tired. And of course, I moved to San Francisco, got in the music community. I'm surrounded by Deadheads, and Jerry dies 3 years after I arrive. Jerry's death was a seismic event in the city and in the kind of creation of the scene. But I would say there's three different Grateful Deads. There's the early freak out psychedelic Dead that peaks in like 1969. Then there's jazzy, fusion-y, groovy Dead that's like peaks in 72 and 73. And then there's like weird version of Dance Band Dead that has its peak like 77 to 79. So I'm going to play a little bit of each three.
Dance Band, huh?
Yes, okay, because
I want to shake down street, Timmy.
Oh,
when you think of a Grateful Dead concert, you think of all the twirlers, right? You think of all these people who appear to have no rhythm, finding rhythm. It's because the Dead by the late 70s had kind of figured out this kind of heartbeat pulse that no matter as long as they kept that, the audience was with them. And they became this very weird kind of like boogie band for a very small subset of Americans. But you'll hear the difference, I think. So here I'm going to play a little bit of a song from a live record called Live Dead, which was recorded where? At the Fillmore.
Yeah,
in 1969. And this is Pigpen, the keyboard organist slash lead singer who will be dead in a few years after this, turning an old blues number into a classic Grateful Dead kind of psychedelic mayhem thing. It's called Turn On Your Love Light.
Without a warning, you broke my heart. Taking a baby, tore it apart. And you left from a standing in a dark crime. Said your love for me was dying. So come on, baby, baby, please. I'm begging you, baby, that I'm on my knees. Turn on your light.
So that'll go on for another 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay.
Like with that intensity. The Dead smooth it out a little bit from like 72, 73, 74. They drop one of their two drummers, Mickey Hart, and Bill Kreutzmann takes over by himself. And they become a band that has a slightly softer touch. They still have some of those kind of grooving bluesy numbers, but they also start to experiment with this kind of floatier groove that has as much to do with like sonic-y soundscape as it does like the old kind of blues and jug numbers that they cut their name on. So there's a ton of songs from this period that would do it, like Eyes of the World or Mississippi Hap Stuff. My favorite is a song called Bird Song, and I'm just going to play you a little bit. So now we've moved forward 3 years. Pigpen has passed away and Mickey Hart's been fired, so now it's just a five piece. And so there's more space for everybody. So things are a little looser, but they're decidedly more experimental and instrumental in nature. So here we go.
Okay.
That's my equivalent of Ben's In a Silent Way. I could listen to that kind of Grateful Dead shit all day. Huh. Like, it's just, for me, it's just like, I just take, pick one instrument and follow it for a minute. And then I pick another instrument and follow it. Like, I could listen to Phil Lesh pick random notes for a couple of hours and then switch over to Jerry and switch back. Like, there's a period where the Dead is, it's just this kind of like exploratory, in no hurry conversation. But they tighten it up by the late 70s. Like, they discover, disco, which is hilarious in its own right. But this is like what the Dead sound like in the third act of their career. And this is them at their best. So this is what I mean by like becoming kind of a dance band for this kind of twirling circus that follows them. And the sets became much more predictable, like a Jerry song, a Bobby song, a Jerry song, a Bobby song, one that gets stretched out, an old hit, set break. Then set two would go Jerry, Bob, and then into some kind of groovy space drums thing, and then back out. But this is okay. this is estimated profit, which is in 7/4 time, which, you know, like, there are just not many bands who could have a hit with their crowd that's in a bizarro time signature. But this will give you an idea of the sound they kind of settled in on through their retirement. Two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Mountain coming any day, don't work. Been so long, felt this way, I ain't no hurry, no. Rainbows in down that highway, where ocean breezes blow. My time coming, voices sing, and they tell me where I'll go.
As long as you have that pulse, people can spin in a circle to it. So they just identified, like, we'll just keep this going and then we can float and kind of loop around it. And I think that's where all the hands and the dancing and the twirling came from, because they just keep, there's a pulse beat to a Grateful Dead concert, and then everybody else is kind of snaking in and around it. So on a good night, they lock into some music that doesn't sound like any other band, and that's a compliment. And on a bad night, it all falls apart and they're not listening to each other and they sound worse than the average bar band.
Is there like
there'll never be another band like this? I think like all jam bands now have a musical dexterity expectation that the Dead didn't have. Like, if you want to be a jam band now, you got to be able to play on a dime at 700 miles an hour in 26 different time signatures before people will even give you a chance. Part of what makes the Dead so different is they're good but not great players, and so they really only achieve liftoff when they're all having a good night, and that makes them kind of curiously American and curious in general. And I'm a fan. I'm not a crazy fan, and but I'm probably by far and away the biggest fan of the three of us. I would imagine.
Is there an infamous bad show?
There is. They played the Boreal Ski Resort in the summer of 1985, and if you look up worst Dead show ever, they fall apart like 35 minutes into the first set and give up and go back and try to regroup and come out and just can't play anything. They try like all their old, like Casey Jones, Friend of the Devil, and they're just like falling over themselves, and they give up after like 85 minutes and just call it a day. So that is probably the famous awful show.
Ben, where are you on the Dead?
We have done this conversation before. I do not like the Dead. Here's what I'll say. The first one, I was like, wow, that sounds really good. I like that. Then the second one I despised, and the third one I really hated a lot. Jeff did skip. There is the recorded part of it where they're actually kind of an Americana band. And yeah. some of those songs are great. And, you know, the 4.5 minute version of Ripple or even the 3.5 minute version of Casey Jones. I mean, those are just fantastic songs. You know, Box of Rain, I know, is one of Jeff's favorites. And those are, you know, beautiful, very acoustic-y and super influential in the Americana area. So I
and
do
they,
like those
that,
things.
But that's dude, like I, a I mean, 7 month
supposed
period.
To have been good, if they're supposed to have been good in 1989, that's when I saw them. And I can report not my experience.
No, mine either.
So wait, where's Bertha? Is Bertha in that 7 month period?
Bertha's
as well?
Like right around that same time, 1971. Yeah. The thing about the Dead is 80% of the songs they played their whole career never made it on a studio album. So you can't really like Bertha's not on a Grateful Dead studio record. It's only on 8 or 9 live records.
Right.
But Ben's right. They make Working Man's Dead and American Beauty back to back in 1970. And those records are like just a classic like Americana band. And then at the same time, they're playing these 3.5 hour shows where a 45 minute Dark Star is the center of the spectacle. They were pretty schizophrenic in that way. The rest of the albums are just poorly recorded versions of the live show. But those two studio records, Working Man's Dead and American Beauty, I agree with Ben, are heads and shoulders above the rest of their catalog. And probably the only studio records worth even bothering to listen to.
All right. Well, we have come to the end of part one.
Before we do that, I want to note that they are not the favorite son. What's the best-selling musical act from San Francisco?
Is it Journey?
Got to be Journey, actually, doesn't it?
Metallica. Maybe.
Of course.
Metallica.
Of course.
All right. Well, as an apology to Metallica, let's give us a quick Metallica song to play us out of part one. Jeff Simons,
you got it, man.
Just wake them up after the Dead.
That's perfect. I love Battery. Oh wait, I got
to
give the fast part.
In the middle, yeah.
Yeah.
Scary.
Oh, you haven't heard anything yet. Give it a couple seconds. I think this is the last pass. Here it goes.
Scary. All right.
Introducing the Deep Leadership Podcast. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former submarine officer who spent 22 years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters.
Leadership matters.
Deep Leadership is real-world, actionable leadership advice from John and his expert guests. Become a leader worth following. Subscribe today.
Electricast. Hey there, I'm DC. I host the Rock Podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interview.
Electricast. Electricast.